minutes past the hour. Hope your day is going well on this March 21st. Phone lines are open at 877-573-7825. We are your pro-life radio network and your TV network, of course. And speaking of life, a wonderful resource for you is the great work of the Life Issues Institute. Brad Maddox, you know him from his great work with the Institute and also, of course, EW10 on the phone with us. Boy, I don't know where to begin. So let's start with the hearings yesterday, the opening of the hearings for the Supreme Court nominee, Neil Gorsuch. Your thoughts looking at, I chuckled to myself, but it was like, if I don't laugh, I have to cry, the comments of Dianne Feinstein. Oh, my goodness, he actually believes that abortion is wrong. What is the matter with this man? I'm like, oh, dear Lord, give me patience and strength. Anyway, your thoughts.
Well, the good part, Teresa, is that they are becoming very transparent in their beliefs, the other
yep.
side, I mean. And we understand just not the evil of them, but the evil of their positions that they hold. And we have to counter that to the best of our ability. It seems that it was a requirement for all members of the committee who were Democrats to whine about Judge Merrick regarding his inability to get a hearing. And, of course, I'm sure that Judge Gorsuch, Justice Gorsuch, was, briefed on everything to just smile and let them talk and pontificate, and that's exactly what happened. The opening statements are a time where they can grab the microphone and tout themselves, and in some cases, just very radical beliefs. And then they expect their constituency and the public to believe that they're going to address this in an unbiased and fair way, which I think yesterday should have removed the doubt from any savvy individual with discernment. But today it's going to get a little rougher. We're going to see questions and things pointed at him. But, you know, he is a sterling individual. I think he's going to come through this with flying colors. And I'm very confident he's going to be confirmed by the Senate.
That was my next question, of course. At the end of the day, given his credentials, even his great approval rating by the American Bar Association, which is not exactly a conservative professional organization.
Not at all.
If you see the respect that he has garnered over the years in terms of the way he has served on the bench, it's incredible because he has a lot of bipartisan support.
And his demeanor, Teresa, just by watching him, listening to him, you understand he's got what it takes to be on the Supreme Court.
It was interesting, and I don't know if you heard this too, but in moving around on the different radio stations and listening to various shows in addition to ours here on EWTN on the hearings, some of the pundits that they had on were saying that the Democrats are not going to push too hard on this because they're concerned about the fact that, of course, Ginsburg or Kennedy may be stepping down. And several of them on several different programs mentioned that this could happen as soon as this summer. What do you think?
Yes, well, I've been asking around a lot, and I recently got to chat with Ed Meese, the former Attorney General of Ronald Reagan, and asked him this exact question. And he's hearing the same things, and he was of the opinion that Judge Gorsuch clerked under Kennedy, and Kennedy may be more apt to retire knowing that one of his proteges is now sitting on the court and take satisfaction in that. Plus, these people are getting older. They need to look at retirement in very serious terms. And we're hearing that Justice Kennedy may very well be the next one. Of course, you never know. God could call any one of those people home today. Scalia was very unexpected, his death. So we just don't know what the Lord has in mind. But we have to be prepared to respond accordingly. And we are very grateful that Donald Trump honored his pledge as a candidate in his campaign to appoint a pro-life justice, a solid justice, and we believe he did that with Justice Neil Gorsuch.
Looking at the big picture, Brad, how important is the Supreme Court when it comes to life issues?
Oh, huge. You cannot overstate it, Teresa. And thankfully, most of the voters understood that, and I think that in spite of Donald Trump's history and some of the vile things he was quoted as saying, being the sinner that we all are, they overcame that understanding that there's a repentant heart there, for one thing, which was the most important, and secondly, that the Supreme Court has the ultimate say in so many things, sadly, because Congress has abdicated their authority, I believe, and that's the situation we're left with. So the Supreme Court will have the final authority on abortion, on euthanasia, on cloning, on all of these situations where human life hangs in the balance. And if we can get Gorsuch on and we believe another pro-life vote, say if Kennedy retires, then I think we'll have a majority to reverse Roe versus Wade, and that will result in millions saved. It's just a step toward our ultimate goal, of course, because so many states abortion is legal.
Right.
But that's our home turf. That's where the grassroots pro-lifers can be more effective, and local politicians are more responsive, and that's where we'll see more victory.
If you're just joining us on a Tuesday morning of Catholic Connection, we're chatting with Brad Mattis of the Wonderful Life Issues Institute. Brad, what's your website for folks for more information?
Lifeissues.org. Lifeissues.org. We have over 5,000 pages of educational, medical, scientific, inspiring information on the life issues from fertilization to euthanasia.
You guys do a great job, and here's another question I have for you. In the midst of all of this craziness that we're seeing, I think the point that you made at the beginning of the interview, Brad, about the transparency now of those who are behind abortion on demand in this country, it's just out there now. Before they could hide behind words like choice and freedom and phrases such as reproductive rights, but now the ugliness is being revealed, and it's not just under a microscope. It is out there for everyone to see. I think one of the most prominent examples of this was last week, and I actually played the video, and there was a link to it in a great piece by Carrie Gress on National Catholic Register's website, where the number two woman at Planned Parenthood, in that interview that she did with Tucker Carlson, the robotic responses that she had to the issue of what she thought about when life began, she refused to answer it and just kept going back to her talking point. So more and more we are seeing this transparency, aren't we?
Oh, we are. And that interview was so revealing in different ways. Planned Parenthood claims they're a medical establishment providing a broad range of medical services, and yet when asked, they leave it up to the so-called patient to decide when life begins. What medical professional does that? When you're getting treatment, what medical professional says, well, I'm going to leave it up to you whether you need heart surgery or not?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody does that. And Planned Parenthood is not a medical organization. They are the nation's largest chain of abortion mills in our country. Planned Parenthood is the most aggressive lobbyist and promoter of abortion on demand throughout pregnancy for literally any reason on the state and federal level, and they're getting $528 million, over a half billion dollars of our tax dollars to further their radical abortion agenda.
The Susan B. Anthony List just put out an interesting report, which I posted on my Facebook page, about how abortions are up and other types of care are way, 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 supposedly care that Planned Parenthood provides, way down.
Well, and not only that, they've lied about the care that they supposedly give. You know, we heard them brag about mammograms for years until an investigative report showed that they don't have a single mammogram a piece of equipment in any of their facilities. None of them have a license to operate it. They've also been exposed recently of not providing prenatal care, something that many of their websites say right there. We provide prenatal care, and then you call them, and they say, no, they don't. Some have taken those words off of their websites.
Well, how about ultrasounds? Ultrasounds they don't provide,
right?
unless you've confirmed your abortion.
Right. They will not do an ultrasound if you want to keep your baby and choose life. There's all kinds of services you cannot get there if you choose life, only if you choose abortion. And they are being exposed, the baby body parts for sale. They're denying it, but it flies in the face of overwhelming evidence. Americans are understanding this is a vile, hedonistic, pro-death organization with the sole purpose, the main purpose, of killing babies through abortion, and they do not need our tax funding.
Yeah, I mean, I would never agree with keeping them open at all, but why can't they raise funds on their own? They certainly are good at doing that.
Yes, and I'll tell you, at Life Issues Institute, we just passed our 25th year. We have to work very, very hard, scratch and claw, for every dollar we get. It's such a tedious, overwhelming part of our ministry at times, but in order to keep the doors open to minister to others and provide resources, we have to do that. Planned Parenthood gets it handed to them on a silver platter in the name of our tax dollars.
Not only that, but they have so many big donors, that, you know, the superstars in Hollywood that support them, and they are brilliant at raising money, and then they cry poor in terms of the 500 plus million that they say that they need to provide so many wonderful services that don't exist. I really pray for them, though, because I was watching that interview with Tucker Carlson last week and that VP from, and I thought, wow, I mean, you can't even answer the question. To me, that is just so telling as to how the spirit, that check in her spirit where she knew if she answered it, how she would be perceived. So what's going on in your head and your heart, Brad, when you're trying to jump through these mental, you know, and verbal hoops?
And we cannot underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit at times like that. And when they're going through their day-to-day duties, you know, and they're coming face to face with the confrontation of reality versus what they've put up in their brains. So yes, I agree, Teresa, we need to be praying for them. And when people like Abby Johnson come out of Planned Parenthood and those that come out of the abortion industry, they are the best ambassadors we have to end abortion. So others are there. We just have to pray and work them out of that death industry.
So in addition to prayer right now, what else can we do to have a real impact? And because you hear an awful lot from the left and those supporting abortion, and they are out there on the streets, and I know the media are behind them and helping them in their propaganda, but what else do we need to do as a people of life to make a difference in our culture?
Well, the biggest thing right now is defunding of Planned Parenthood, diverting their Medicaid funding. And I know you talked last week about the SOC project,
yes,
the Students for Life.
Yes, Planned Parenthood, yep.
Yeah, we are part of that. We are helping to promote it in any way we can. You can be a part of that at lifeissues.org. You can even have the SOCs ordered for you. We'll take care of the details if you want us to shop for you and be part of this voice. Add your voice. Can you imagine, Teresa, a banner 100 feet by 50 feet with 324,000 baby socks, the visual message that will send to Congress and America, that these aren't just statistics. These are human lives that were tragically and brutally snuffed out by Planned Parenthood using, in part, our tax dollars. It's going to be very important, and right now, if we could get everybody concentrated on this effort, I think we will certainly see victory.
Yeah, Socket 2, Planned Parenthood, and you can find out more information through a number of different pro-life groups, including yours, Life Issue Institute, all Life Issues Institute, but also, of course, Students for Life and the Susan B. Anthony list, and I've got it posted all over my Facebook page. Just a quick personal story. My godson, our nephew, Andrew, had twins last September, and they were preemie, 3-2 and 3-5, Francesca and Liliana. They are doing amazingly well. They're over 16 pounds now and just absolutely edible. I'm going nuts. They're just adorable. But I keep thinking about, I told my husband, we have to get all their socks. You know, they grow so fast at this early stage, and so I have to tell my nephew, don't throw away any socks because we need them, because we're sending them all to, we're sending them all
right
to Washington.
And it's such an easy thing for us all to do. It's a fun thing, but it's a life-saving project. So I would encourage all of us to participate. We are one of the many sponsors, co-sponsors of this, and it's a unifying thing for us to stand side by side with our other pro-life organizations as one voice for life.
Yes, and what a great visual compared to those awful pink hats that the women wore at the quote-unquote Women's March, right?
And worse, yes.
Mm. Brad, thanks so much.
We can't talk about on family radio.
Yes, exactly. We won't go there, but we think people know of what we're speaking. Brad, thanks so much. God bless you for your great work. And, of course, the history of the Life Issues Institute is phenomenal. Your website again?
Lifeissues.org.
All right, we'll have you back on soon. Thanks, Brad.